Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration. Hello, 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 and what up, doe? Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show. Yes, we are live today, and today we are going to be talking about consumption lounges. Yes, we are. I'm going to let the internet juices pick up that B. I see the live button going live. We are good. Let me get my comments ready. Yes. All right. So we're going to talk about consumption lounges, and this is the Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show, where we are here to help you have more comfortable cannabis experiences, because who wants to have uncomfortable damn experiences with cannabis? We do it through education. We do it through this podcast. We do it through courses. We do it through memberships. And in the podcast, we have multiple different series. We have a do-it-yourself series. We have a history in cannabis series. We have a, what's my other series? Do-it-yourself. We have the Grow Your Own series. We had a cannabis therapy series. And this series right here is the Cannabis Biz Connect series, where we talk about a business topic about cannabis. We do this once a month. We go live. I have a special guest that's going to come on to talk about consumption lounges today. We're going to talk about consumption lounges. We're going to talk about events. But yes, this is a cannabis, Cannabis Connect, where budding entrepreneurs can come on and network and share with each other. What's up, though, Damon? What's up, though? Hey, hey, I see you guys in the comments. Thank you guys for giving you guys access to your guys' Facebook identity. It helps me know who's making comments. Otherwise, it will say Facebook user or YouTube user. So I appreciate that. What's up, though? It's totally interactive. Any questions as we go through the material? Again, today, we're going to be talking about consumption lounges. What is the 401 as of now with consumption lounges? Hello, hello. What's up? What's up, Nichols? What's up? What's up? What's up? Glad to see you, too. Glad to see y'all, too. I love the participation. I sent a text. All right, cool. All right, my bad. I'm on a show. I can't read my phone. What you want me to do? What you want me to do? No, I'm joking. I'm joking. All right, cool. All right. Consumption lounges, what we're going to talk about. Let me bring on my co-host right now. My co-host, Paul, a.k.a. The Prophet. Paul, why don't you just introduce yourself, my brother?
Hey, everyone. I'm Paul The Prophet here. I specialize in extraction and concentrates and all forms of cannabis outside of just the plant, you know, taking the processing portion and turning it into the actual processed product, and here to answer questions and have fun with you guys. You may see me hit the, unit every once in a while on live here. But if you're smoking with us, make sure if I'm hitting it, you can hit it too.
I love it. I love it. I got my pre-roll for the show. Without any further ado, let me put up my slides. Yes, we got some fancy slides. We do some research on the internet. And believe me, just because it's on the internet does not mean it's true. But we're going to talk about it. We have the Prophet here. And then hopefully we have a couple more guests may be able to join us as we go. Jennifer is behind the scenes. Any questions you have, she's going to pop you guys up here. And as we get, I love the interaction. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love you. Thank you, Nicole. All right, cool. All right, so we're going to talk about the 401 on consumption lounges. And as Paul, aka the Prophet, is consuming right now, I'm sure he'll like to be in a lounge to be able to do that. So, Paul, let's talk about this. Is what we're going to talk about. What is a consumption lounge legally? Not talking about just, you know, in your crib, all that jazz. We're going to talk about the state, states with consumption lounge licenses. And even though they may, you know, legalize it, does it mean there are any of them open? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about marijuana events. And then we're also going to get into the future of cannabis lounges and events. We're from Michigan. More particularly, we're in Detroit. So we could definitely speak towards Detroit and speak towards Michigan and go from there. So, you know, things have been legalized, Paul, for a little bit, but it doesn't mean everybody gets to experience the goodness of legalization. Is that true? What you think, brother?
It's very true. It's very true. As we dive into the cannabis consumption lounges and just the different things that are required, how many do you see open in the state right now? You know, any?
Yeah. And it's like, Well, what's the big deal? Like, why do you think we even need consumption lounges, or is it a need, or, you know, I mean, who cares? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, how it's set forth right now, how the law and, you know, the regulations surrounding it are set forth. No, I don't think consumption lounges in their current form, you know, would be any different from walking into a hookah lounge and hitting your pen, you know, minus not being able to roll up a joint. There really isn't much difference, but to go through the, you know, the process of getting a consumption lounge to then the only way you can monetize it, you can't sell anything inside the lounges. You can't, you know, and I don't want to get too far into it, but no, just to answer your question, in their current form with how the laws are, no, I don't think it would make any difference.
Now, the point of consumption lounges is, even though it's legalized, it doesn't mean you can smoke anywhere, right? I mean, it's depending on the state, most likely you can't smoke in the public. Besides New York, they actually passed the law where anywhere where there's tobacco smoke, you can smoke cannabis, which means, you know, parks and all that jazz. But like here in Michigan, you can smoke anywhere, like in a private residence, but you can't smoke in a public. So where does that leave you if you're in, let's say, government housing? Let's say if you're traveling and you're in a hotel, or maybe you live in an apartment building where you can't smoke. Where do you go to consume cannabis? Do you see that as a current issue within the states that are legalizing?
Definitely, definitely. And think about it, you know, the situations that you just described, how the law is written in Michigan, you're right. Technically, you know, if I live in state housing and I can't smoke in my, I can't smoke in state housing, I can't consume, you know, legally in state housing, I have to go to a consumption lounge. And the, you know, that brings us to the next, you know, thought, which is, like I said earlier, where are there consumption lounges right now that want to go through that long, lengthy, expensive process to get to the end and not even have the ability to monetize your own investment back?
Right. So there's definitely a need for consumption lounges. I mean, otherwise, what's our alternative? I mean, we, you know, back in the day, even if you got a hotel, and, you know, we may have all had a hotel before and looking to smoke, and maybe you're in the bathroom flushing the toilet or something like that. You got the towel underneath the
I know the feeling. Weed smells.
Or like you're going to your car, and then, you know, you got people walking by your car, you're in a parking lot, you know, you get a risk of getting, you know, arrested doing that. So you know, I see the point of this. So let's talk about a definition of a consumption lounge, of the best that we could define it. So even though it's legal, it's only recreational in about 37 states, and it's not legal to consume in public places everywhere, hence the creation of, you know, why we need lounges, which we were just talking about earlier. But by definition, a social consumption lounge is a commercial space authorized for adult use for adults to legally consume marijuana products on premise. So that's the legal definition. It's a place commercially. You know, at your crib, you got people over. You know, that's not necessarily, you know, you can have your man cave per se, but that's not the commercial consumption lounge. But we're talking about commercialized when everyone's going there and being able to smoke. And I think this is the next wave. What do you think?
I definitely agree. Yeah. Social consumption lounge, you know, if they open up the space to where it's not just a consumption lounge, you can buy your product there, you can consume it there. You know, if they open it up and make it to where it's more than just, hey, you pay a fee to come in and sit here and smoke, and that's it. You know, it really isn't. Because last I was reading, you know, a lot of consumption lounges, they can't have any type of food or drink or any type of sales of that nature. You'd have to bring in everything. So how does a person in Michigan? Yeah. So how does a person, you know, you got rent, you got utilities. How does a person even get those back with just, you know, from simple memberships? You know, you got to charge more for a membership, and that, okay, now you're talking about the people in state housing who have to live in state housing but still need to consume. Okay, how do you afford a membership?
Yeah. So there's got to be a way with the consumption lounges. You're speaking of, all right, we're talking about what is a consumption lounge. You're more speaking of how, even if you open up a consumption lounge in Michigan, how do you become profitable? And we're gonna talk about that in a little bit too. I know profit. I mean, you are so advanced ahead. It's all good. I love your thinking. I'm here to keep us right on narrow, right on track, brother. I love it.
All right. Moments like these when it's time to hit the glass.
It's all good. That's good. All right. So We're talking about some of the advantages of them. So experts are citing the following facts. So you give access to adults to safely consume in a sanctioned space. That's a benefit of lounges. It can reduce black market sales and consumption in unauthorized areas. So that's one of the ways that people are trying to lobby to get lounges onto the state ballots, is that it could reduce the black market. Well, one, let me just say the black market, the word term black market, you could use the word the unsolicited market or the illicit
traditional market.
Traditional market is the correct term.
Yeah. I've been hearing more and more.
Yeah, I'm trying to stick away from using the word black as like a negative connotation towards things. So it's the traditional market, the original market, the legacy market. And I don't even believe, just anyone. I'm not even trying to go off too much of a side point, but why is even the traditional market an enemy? I think that framing of that is an issue to me. Like, at one point, we was the enemy. It's going to make you jump off a bridge. Now we realize that this is a bunch of a lie. It was a bunch of propaganda, one of the biggest lies ever told. And now you still got to have an enemy. So now they're talking about the enemy is now the traditional market. I don't think that's the enemy, Prophet. I don't think the traditional, it's the enemy to those who get a license, who want to make money. But I don't think it's the enemy to society.
You just nailed it. And I wanted to ask as we were talking. You're right. It's the enemy to who gets a license. And then the second portion of that is, who's saying that the traditional market's bad? The media. They say it's bad. They say it's bad because the guys who have licenses, who have money to lobby the media to tell them what to do, to buy advertisements. The traditional market's bad now. It used to be weed's bad. Now it's the traditional market's bad because it's taking tax money out of the people who have, you know, the non-traditional businesses.
Yeah, which boo-hoo you, my fault. Just the whole point of legalizing weed was stop arresting people for a fucking plant. How about that? Stop messing up their lives. Stop forfeiting their houses and assets. Stop disrupting it, giving them criminal records. Stop putting people in jail over a plant, period. It was never the traditional market. The point of legalization, it was about undoing this big lie and about stopping the arrest, prosecution, and jailing of people, disproportionately black and brown people, for a plant. All right. Sorry, we're off on a little tangent about this reducing the black, because I don't think that's the issue. All right, people. Now, I do believe it's an issue where, all right, yeah, there are going to be more people consuming in places you may not want them to do if they do not have a place to go consume. So here in Detroit, you know, some people may be, you know, I guess you don't want to walk down the street of, let's say, let's give a park where there's a bunch of families at, Prophet. Or is it a park where, you know, you got maybe it's a festival downtown. And I get it.
Can a person smoke a cigarette walking by a park?
Yes, they can, brother.
Can a person with a bottle in a bag drink booze walking past the park?
They can, brother. They can.
What's the difference?
The smell. I would say the smell.
But again, I walk past a whiskey guy, just straight up whiskey drinker. That's all I smell. I smell cigarette smoke. I think it's breaking the stigma, right? Because people always bring up kids. It's really easy to, well, it's for the children, you know? I can name a lot of horrible figures in history that, oh, it's for the children. It's for the health and safety of the children. Well, why don't we just teach kids what the hell this shit is and let them make their own decision? Hey, these are things in the world that, you know, heroin exists, meth exists, crack exists. You know, I remember DARE. I thought DARE was incredibly ineffective, but at least it gave me an idea of what I could potentially encounter in the world.
Okay. So you say, okay. We got Nicole. She's saying no differences because cigarettes are strong. Very true. I like that.
Cigarettes kill a lot more people a year than weed does.
It does. So like New York, we're pretty much, okay, we're talking about the benefits of consumption lounges. We're going there right now, which there needs to be a place where people can go smoke. But it's not like we should only be able to smoke there. We should still be able to smoke just where people are smoking tobacco. And because of the stigma, we're thinking about the whole weed thing. If it was no stigma and we saw it as a therapeutic remedy, we wouldn't be thinking about the smell versus, you know, what that equates to anyway. Okay, I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
I mean, think about it. If a person that took insulin for whatever reason, it smelled and nobody liked the smell, they got to take insulin. Do you think people would bitch about it in public?
Okay.
Guy needs insulin to survive. Okay, maybe the machine smells. For whatever reason, it's a in my mind, it's just, it's like social norms and what people see as normal versus what people see as, you know, non-normal.
Okay.
And we're entering that age where we're coming from a generation of people who, you know, that generation's on the exit. You know, it's the reefer madness generation is on the exit. And you got the new generation kids coming in where weed's legal, and they've never had to deal with the idea that a person could be arrested for a plant. So it's this, okay, it's this real, real weird flux, I think, that we're in right now, updating social norms.
I got you. Okay. So we're saying, so right now we should be able to consume cannabis just as where you can, how we can consume alcohol, just like how we could consume tobacco. Now, granted, there are bars. Not everybody wants to go on the streets and drink out of a paper bag. I get that. You want to be able to go to a bar and socialize with cannabis and feel normal with that. That's a benefit of consumption lounges. But we're also adding that we also should be advocating for public consumption.
I believe that. Yeah, I totally believe that. Just because, again, what you just described, I think this falls under our right to the pursuit of happiness, to pursue happiness. Well, if I'm limited in the spaces where I can pursue my own happiness through something that I just bought from a state licensed facility, they get taxed, I get taxed, I'm walking on a tax road, and I can't even consume the tax product that I just bought until I get into a sanctioned space.
I get you.
I'm with
no,
yeah, public.
I will add to that that yes, we have our pursuit of happiness, but at the same time, we have to do it while we're respecting others. Now, I will still, like, you can swing your fist how you want, you know, you can date who you want, you know, you can, you know, do the things you want to do in your own private settings and all that jazz. But as soon as you swing your fist and it touches me, there's an issue. So I get that, you know, we should be able to consume publicly, but at the same time, we shouldn't be disrespectful with it. Like, we shouldn't be able to just walk up and blow smoke in people's face. No,
that'd be the same thing with cigarettes. I mean, think about it. Or if you pour booze on somebody in public, because there are laws that exist that's harassment. That is plain out harassment. If somebody walked up to me in public and started hitting me with smoke, just thinking about it.
All right, cool. All right, let's cover now. All right, so we got the benefits of why we should have consumption lounges. We understand public consumption and places where we should be able to designate, go smoke, but we shouldn't be limited to just those places. Like, oh, I can only smoke if I'm at my crib or if I'm at this one place. I get that. Now let's go to some of these states now that do allow consumption lounges. And if you're in a state and you're watching this live and you have a consumption lounge in your state, by all means, chime in, give us some feedback, let us know how that is. But we're going to go what we know. So Alaska, you ever been to Alaska, Prophet?
I have. In the fifth grade, I went to Alaska on a 2-week vacation. It was my dying grandpa's wish to my father. We did a 1-week land cruise and a 1-week cruise on a ship. We went to Juneau. We went to Anchorage.
Wow.
Yeah, we went in the summertime. It was there was only, I want to say it was like 3-4 hours of darkness. Remember one night we were sitting down. My dad drinks till it gets dark, and it didn't get dark till like 3 a.m. Oh, it's crazy. Beautiful state.
All right, well, maybe, you know, if you go back there. So Alaska, surprisingly, became one of the first states to license consumption lounges on site. And you have to have a legal dispensary to do it. So you have to have the retail license to apply for a special on-site use endorsement. Now, this business model makes sense as far, I know you were talking about earlier, the issue here in Michigan, as far, we're going to get to Michigan too, as being profitable with a consumption lounge. You can't really retail out of the consumption. Is it just really a place to consume unless you were throwing an event or something like that? If you had an event, then maybe you can have some vendors per se in your consumption lounge and make money that way. But in Alaska, only retail stores can have this on-site use endorsement. What do you think about that, brother?
So I like the on-site use endorsement. Because, you know, if you wanted to do an event at your dispensary, you know, great. Now we can, you know, kind of like the beer tent idea when you go to a festival. You know, you can only consume it in this area, so they can at least control what goes in and what comes out. And when you think of Alaska, there's an immense amount of rurality. So, you know, there are cities, and then there are like out little skirt areas, and then, you know, that's it. you know, that's wide open space. So yeah. If there's one dispensary and there's a big enough town to have two dispensaries, you might have two dispensaries, but the space between everything out there, I take it, the special on-site use endorsement is great for events, but in the reality of Alaska, don't you think it would make sense to make the dispensary like your local bar for weed smokers?
Make the dispensary like your local bar for weed smokers. I mean, could it not do that with this on-site thing? Couldn't the dispensary be like the local bar though?
So now I see this special and I think, can I get this one time and I can do it whenever I want? Or is it only for events and you can only do it once a month?
Oh, I got you.
That's what I was at. Yeah, because if it's what you're thinking, then yeah, it'd be perfect. If it's what I just said, once you get this on-site use endorsement, it could be the local weed tavern.
I think it's that, brother. I think it's that. I think it's like once you get that license, that endorsement, people can ongoingly consume in a certain area over in Alaska. So maybe one day we can go on a fishing trip when it's warm. All right. When it's 70 over there, I'll meet you over in Alaska. All right. Let's go on to the next state. We have California. So let's see. Consumption lounges have been legal in California for a couple years and are home to some of the most infamous attractions around. Let's say Mo Green's in San Francisco, which went through a 4-year process becoming licensed to open. And then in 2021, California regulators sought out to clear the gray areas and consumption laws that prohibited selling of non-marijuana food and drinks. I was not aware that there was too many, bro, that is loud, okay? You are smoking that loud in my ear right now. All right. So have you been to California? You've been to Alaska. Have you heard of any lounges? I mean, people smoking in California, whether it's legalized or not lounges, but legal lounges in California. Have you been to any of them? Are you familiar with any of them? Anything like that?
So I've never been to a legal smoke lounge in California. I've been to many, many seshes and traditional legacy market smoking establishments in California. California is a really interesting state. I'm glad it was our next topic because they just opened up, I want to say the first one opened in Hollywood. It was like this huge, huge thing. And they were open at one point and then they had to close and now they're open. And there, same concept. It would make a great lounge, come in and smoke, because technically on the streets, from my recollection, can't smoke on the streets of LA or San Francisco.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, you can rob a store in San Francisco, and as long as it's under $200, the cops won't get called. So they don't care.
You can rob a store in San Francisco, and if it's under $200,
the cops won't come.
Okay. Strange fact.
Yeah. The enforcement of the law from law enforcement in these inner city areas, I think it's really, really selective. Because, Los Angeles has a million plus homeless people living in Skid Row, and I don't think they care. I think that's the nicest way to say it. I don't think they really care.
That's funny.
Unless you're making money, and then you're not paying
taxes. I'm laughing at Nicole because when I said you're making a lot of noise smoking that blunt on that bunk, she said, let him be great. I'm sorry. All right, my bad. Be great, Prophet. My bad. But then she just said that she needs $200. So let's not endorse, okay, people going there to get a quick 200. All right. There's other ways. There's a couple ounces we can flip there for that. All right. So California, they have some ounces, not a lot. But they have a couple. So we talk about Alaska, talk about California. Now we're going to go a little bit closer, right next to us, Midwest, Illinois. Illinois has some, they approved the law to allow consumption lounges. Being a consumption license can't really sell cannabis, just like Michigan. It's to its customers only facility, a space where it can be consumed. So due to this regulations, the lounges are known as BYOC, bring your own cannabis. So similar in Illinois, they probably will partner with a local store and then maybe give some kind of, I know you talk about the membership scenario, But you will have to be able to sell something. Like you said, like food, non-cannabis, food, drinks, entertainment. It's got to be something to be profitable if you cannot sell cannabis. Like, what is it that a lounge could do to be profitable if you cannot sell cannabis?
I mean, that's literally, that was the first thing right at the start of this that came to mind. And that's, I look at this and I think if you can't sell food or drink, you have to have a draw that makes wanting to come back every day worth it. You know, so if it costed you $50 or $100 a month, what does your space give? Well, you have a really amazing space. That space has to have any type of amenities to draw the person back. And, you know, what's a brick and mortar building cost, you know, for a month? Electrical, you know, your rent, you know, insurance, plus to get the license. I mean, are you going to start off day one with 100 members? You know, even with 100 members at $100 a member. And that's assuming you have 100 people that pay the $100. You know,
I got an idea. I got an idea. How about you sell merchandise? No, I'm joking. I just stole Nicole's. Nicole had that covered. No, so yeah, she talked about, well, like you said, no, I get it. So you got startup expenses, you got payroll, you have ongoing monthly expenses, utilities, bills, office supplies, all that jazz. And if you just did memberships, so merchandise is one. We talked about that. She said, what about regular food and drinks and water or nothing at all? Well, some spots or some states are saying you can't sell anything that's non-cannabis related, which is weird. So you can't have food and drinks. So maybe you have to have a food truck right outside. You got to, I mean, there's always ways to get creative, right? So there's a food truck.
No, and that's you're right. Get creative and it can be done. Again, look at Michigan. It's been open for how long now? How many different municipalities have opened up consumption lounges? How many do you see?
I get you. So I hear it. This is a slide on Michigan. Yeah, it's I mean, there's that's funny. You got the picture of the crab. You got the picture of the Crab Cannabis Club up here. Ah, that's hilarious. All right, on the slide. So yeah, so it's I get it. It's, but also part of the reason why there's a lot of consumption lounges, would you agree that not a lot of cities have zoned them, have opted in to actually zone them? I still think like you can have entertainment. All right, say it's a consumption lounge. You can have entertainment. You can have a light-skinned man in there on stage bouncing his chest. Who won't pay $10 for that? Huh? Would you pay for that profit?
Huh? I pay for that and be able to consume.
You know,
hell yeah.
Everybody will pay for a light skinned man bounce his chest on stage. Just joking. All right.
No, and you're making a really good point here. And that's the consumption lounges I think we'll see in Michigan are going to be more along the lines of what what's the company? Loom is doing with DTE. They're making, I don't know if it's Loom or it's, they're making the Treehouse Tree Lounge in DTE Music Theater. And it's going to be a dispensary / consumption lounge. And it's going to be this whole thing. So I think what you're going to see is it's not just going to be consumption lounge. It's going to be a music venue with a consumption lounge added to it, or a wedding venue with a consumption lounge added to it, or an event hall with a consumption lounge added to it. You know what I mean?
Right, right. So it's more of an added feature to bring you to the main course. All right. So you got the main dish and then there's some side items. So you see consumption lounges as more of a side dish, not necessarily the main. I don't want to say chicken because I'm vegan. So we're going to say it's the main cauliflower. All right. The main saute mushroom here. All right.
Well, and think about it. Think about, you know, if you're a dispensary and you have the opportunity to also get a consumption lounge license. In Michigan right now, how it's set up, you could have your dispensary and then across the street, your consumption lounge.
So the I got you.
No, I didn't hear this. So the transaction would occur on an iPad in the consumption lounge. The order would be made through the dispensary's delivery service. It would be sold, marked, and their delivery driver would then walk across the street and deliver it, paid put a card into the iPad. Here you go. And now you're in the lounge and he could deliver it right to your seat at the lounge. It's the same concept of a person driving up and waiting for on-site delivery.
Yeah, you're giving away the game, Prophet. You're giving away the game. But no, this is
good to help these people, man. I want this stuff out there.
I love it. I love it. Now, that also, like, there's spots in Dearborn with, like, hookah, right? There's spots where there's a hookah lounge that maybe doesn't have a license for food. So there's a restaurant right next door. So people can order the food inside the hookah lounge. You know, they just make it, they prepare it, and they come deliver it. But the one thing with marijuana, in order to deliver it, take it outside the store, you have to have a delivery license. I like that concept. So you have, but again, it's not a standalone concept, which I think it has to be a standalone concept because not everybody who's been disproportionately affected by the war on drugs, black, brown people, can get to the industry and open up a retail store. Not everybody can open up a grow. Not everybody will be able to do a lab. But a low barrier to, not everyone can do a delivery business because in order to do a delivery business here in Michigan, you got to have a retail store. So yeah, it's not like, so what's the lowest, say, barrier to entry cost of starting up? You know, getting a consumption lounge seems to be a good way for those for social equity to get into the business. But like you said, maybe it's a joint venture. Maybe it's a partnership with a local dispo.
I think it's a total joint venture. I 100% believe, and not just because if you're not a dispensary, like you're talking right here, and I applaud the thought. Let's figure out how to allow people who want to be in, but might not necessarily be able to afford to be in, but have a building and want to do something like this. How can we, how can they attribute? Well, the second they're in and they have their building licensed, ready to go, they're doing the memberships, they got the food trucks, they got, it's, you know, they're doing music on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, a nice Sunday smoke sessions. And, you know, what's the next piece of that? The next piece of that is contracting with X amount of dispensaries in your area. And if there's only one, you develop a great relationship with the one and do a code deal where we want X percent of all the business we drive you from the inside kiosks that we have at our consumption lounge. And if another dispensary opens up, great. Now we have competition for who's going to pay me the best percentage for all the people that I drive in to your business through my business. You can track all the customers. Every time one of my members buys from you, I'm a piece of it.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, they have to show the receipt of from the retail store in order to get free entry, right? So then now you also are tracking it that way. Say you don't have a kiosk, say you're able to, you know, it's kind of like you went to a Tigers game, and if you showed your ticket to Little Caesars, you get half off your pizza or something like that. So you went to the dispo, you show your ticket at the consumption lounge, you're allowed to come in and maybe get a free pipe and an area to sit. And then you track those receipts and you get,
And piece rental, you just said it. That's the other monetizer piece right there. That's a big one. Have an amazing selection of glass, an amazing selection of bowls and local glass and dab bags and the Vulc, everything.
Yeah,
because nobody wants to buy that shit anymore. They do, but they really don't. If I can go to a place, I can be a member for $100 a month and I can try anything.
Yeah, it's clean. You don't want to do your laundry, but say you take it to the dry cleaner. You don't want to always have to clean your pipe or your bong and all that stuff. You can go there, you can use that. Or maybe you want to spend $500 on a volcano. You're going to go there, you're going to use that and kind of go from there. I get that.
Maybe you want to test the volcano to see if you even like it. You know what I'm saying?
So now the consumption lounge becomes more of the ancillary business, really. So it's a place where you're selling, Nicole mentioned earlier, merchandise, but it's marijuana related. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you got the smoke shop where you can consume, you can taste things. Yeah, I like it. Then there's cross promotion, there's entertainment, there's tips.
It's all weed related.
Yeah. And then hopefully, I mean, if there's food and drinks, I mean, that would be ideal. I don't think ever going to allow alcohol. I mean, that would be
never. No, and like, do you want people to be cross-faded? Really?
I never heard the term cross-faded. That is a new term.
Heard that. Oh, man.
Cross-faded.
Yeah. Cross-faded. Oh, yeah. So when you get cross, when you do too many dabs and you drink too much, the lines start to cross on the up and the down, and you get the spins. and most people pass out or and puke or pass out or just puke or pass out or vice versa. Like it's not fun. I don't recommend it.
All right. Well, that sounds like you have experience doing that. If you have experience out there in the comments ever being cross-faded, give us a thumbs up. Let me know. Let's not let the prophet be alone here. There's got to be other people who have been cross-faded with cannabis and liquor. And yeah, Caribbean, don't be slow. We've seen you cross-faded. So don't play. All right. Anyway, we're going to go on to New Jersey here. So New Jersey, like Alaska, New Jersey's is new. They allow for licensed cannabis retailers and medical dispensaries to pursue openings, what's known as cannabis consumption area. So again, this is retail stores. They have a certain area. So some are talking about standalone lounges, but now another spin on this is just having a designated area inside your location, which is kind of what we're talking about right now anyways. So cool.
I love that. I think that's dead on. And, you know, I think of, especially in New Jersey, the largest search term right when marijuana was legalized was how to roll a joint. And they specifically, it was the New Jersey demographic. And it was this crazy analytical thing to see on Google. When Google put the info, I was like, wow, how to roll a joint. And I immediately think pre-roll brand.
Idea right there. Consumption lounges, how to monetize classes, brother. Classes. You got classes, how to roll joints, how to do those things, how to make certain things. You know, we gotta have this conversation off there. This is the business model right here. I don't know, man. This is the classes right then and there. The
prophet, man, I'm here to teach, here to preach and teach.
You know, like last night. Okay, Harvey, I see you out there. All right, so New York. Let's go to New York. New York approved 2020. Yes, New York. You ever watched the movie Gremlins? Every time I think of New York, man, I think of Gremlins, brother. I don't know what it is. But nevertheless,
did you feed it?
No, it was a movie, man.
When they say it in the movie, did you feed it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did. You shouldn't have fed it.
With a note that local jurisdiction, they could not opt out. All right, so they're saying they have framework for social consumption lounges. Cool, in New York. With a note that local jurisdiction, they could not opt out of allowing. Wow. They in New York have a rule where you cannot opt out of having consumption lounges. I like grabbing the balls right there.
Wait, real quick, it says with a note that local jurisdictions could opt out or cannot. Could.
Yeah. Could. You're right. They could opt out of allowing social consumption lounges if they so choose. All right. But
I don't like that.
At least they're opted in. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, what's the point of having people vote? You disenfranchise the people in that community by saying that, because just all the examples you gave, those types of people exist in every type of community. There isn't, you know, perfection everywhere. So it's, I just don't like it because it disproportionately affects one group of people. You know what I'm saying? In that
same
all group.
Yeah,
it's the same old thing. It's people who can't afford it. It's people in that, and I want to use the word class because it's not a lower class thing. It's just some people just aren't in a position where other people are in a position.
Different lane. They're in a different lane.
Like,
I like the word.
It happens.
They
shouldn't be disproportionately abused because of that.
I feel you. So whenever there's an ordinance, and this is for states that are still becoming legalized, you know, the food for thought here and the tip here for those states who have already legalized is don't even have the clause where cities can opt out. Maybe you can limit them, right?
But limit, but
you cannot opt out because just like in Michigan, there's I think maybe 80% of the municipalities have actually opted out. So
well, here it was way higher than that when it first came out.
Way higher.
It was 90%. It was easier to opt out and then opt back in later, as opposed to just opting in and then once you're in forever.
Yeah, true that. All right, Nevada, Vegas. No, of course, you know.
Yeah, Vegas.
What happens in Vegas, you know, stays in Vegas, take things. All right, I know they've. I mean, they've been. They have some legal battles. They've been trying to do consumption lounges at least since 2018, 2019. So. Now let's see what they say. So Las Vegas led the way. Yes, they did, but nothing kind of panned out from it. A lot of people I know invested in it. So after much success, April 21, Nevada lawmakers expanded consumption lounge licenses for the rest of the state. The new language now allows for retail cannabis consumption lounges and independent consumption lounges too. So it looks like Nevada's got some of the most friendly consumption lounge laws where you can retail out of it. If you have a retail store, you have a whole lounge area, or you can just be a independent consumption lounge as well. So Nevada seems like they seem to be the way over there so far. What do you think?
You know, I'm looking at this right now and it makes me excited. You know, all the different they allow for retail cannabis consumption lounges. They allow for independent cannabis consumption lounges. You know, it's kind of the framework the rest of the country should operate on. And just real quick, I had one thought with the Michigan slide I wanted to just finish with before I forget it. And that's in Michigan, with just like in New Jersey or in any state where it says that the township can opt out, rather than allowing any type of opt out anywhere, what makes sense to me is that second line in the Michigan slide where it says, if zoning and permission are granted by local municipalities, social consumption lounges can be operated. Zoning. All the local municipalities need to do is zone where these businesses can be located, because there's only X amount of property in any given area that can be zoned for this specific thing. There's only so much room for grows in any town. If they opened it up, like in Detroit, for example, with all these lawsuits, if they opened it wide open, they've zoned for X amount of space. That's it. Like with processing, it can only be in an industrial zoned area. That's it. There's only X amount of industrial zoned space. You're not disproportionately affecting anybody. They've zoned for it.
Well, I feel that. The only thing, like in the city of Detroit, when you do create the zoning, where it's 1,000 feet from this liquor store, 1,000 feet from a church, 1,000 feet from a park, industrial area, high business district area, it now still creates a artificial influx in real estate to where.
I'm not a fan of that.
So even though those same people who are in a different lane, who are starting from lane one instead of lane six here, don't have that. Yeah, you can't. You still can't enter the market because. So maybe there's a set. There's a zoning, but a certain percentage of it is set aside for, say, social equity.
Social equity programs. Not to cut you off, but that's it. That's the answer for what we're talking about, as properly built actual social equity, where it's like the people are vetted. It's like you qualify for this, because everybody and their mother applies for social equity. And it's like, I want to see it given to people who actually qualify, not just try to game the system. I'm not trying to game. What I'm saying? Let's give it to people who actually qualify, because too many people take advantage of a system designed to be open. And it's like, how many people applied in Detroit for the social equity license, full well knowing that they have no business. It's just, we're applying because we know we can. And I have no business applying as social equity, but I hit a couple of the things.
I get it. But at least, all right, it's not going to be this fail-proof social equity program where it weeds out any of the people trying. I mean, it's going to be people slipping through. I get that. But at least we got to have some kind of program giving those who are part of the program, like Detroit had the whole legacy program where certain even land, any city-owned land is set aside just for people who have been disproportionately affected, whether it's for retail or consumption lounges. I mean, I think that still has to be done, because if you start zoning, you know, again, And if you have a building that could be worth $20,000, all of a sudden it's worth $1 million.
Hundreds of millions.
Just because it's in a price zone. So I get that. So maybe it's like a zoning with an asterisk to where if you're not in the natural zone, then you can submit an application for a property. A special use for a property that maybe that way it's not just limited to just those zones, but you could find a property outside that zone at a fair market price. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you sign some kind of conditional contract that upon approval, upon approval, that I submit this, that I will buy this for X amount of money. Yeah, there you go. We giving out some good information. I feel like we give some
that's
good
what
information.
I'm saying, man. Special
we're giving some good.
Special use permits. We're teaching people today.
All right, Pennsylvania, last state. Let's go. Yeah. Pennsylvania, similar to other states, Pennsylvania, recent recreational legalization also allows for opening of consumption lounges. They can independently be owned and attached to dispensaries, but cannot actually sell cannabis themselves. There we go again. Having that whole issue, how can you make it profitable if you're not selling cannabis inside that consumption lounge? So it's another bring your own cannabis situation where consumers can bring their own stash and consume in the licensed lounge. So, yeah, you just got to get creative, brother. You just got to get creative, man.
Well, and you think about it, too. 100 people, as I sit here and do the math, 100 people at $100 a month is $10,000. That's a start for consistent business to get to the first 100.
Sure. And I'm sure that consumption lounge needs to be in a prime area, though. I don't think a lot of people are going. Yeah, you're not going to drive, you know, way out the way in this industrial area.
Nostalgia. I mean, I will say there are certain places that I drive to consume to every single day. And it used to be nostalgia. And now I love going there because it's amazingly convenient and right by where I work. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Initially, it was straight up nostalgia to be around other people smoking in public. And then it turned into, wow, this is cool as hell.
That's what's up. So, I mean, location, or really have some kind of really good attraction, like a light-skinned guy bouncing his chest on the stage. Bam! We keep going right back to that. Prophet, we keep going. We keep going right back. All right, last thing, we're going to talk about events. So one thing we talk about consuming at a licensed consumption place, we went through the different states where you can consume. Here in Michigan, you can have an event license, just like an event planner. Now, these event licenses still need a location to actually host the event. Hence, if you had an event at a consumption lounge, that's a way to where, you know, maybe you hold both licenses. You have a consumption license and you have an event license, and you're able to have your regular consumption members area. And then you have your special events that draws in more people. And then at these special events, you can have vendors. So you can have other retail stores here in Michigan come to that special event for a certain fee. So you have to pay the state, I think, like $500 per vendor per day. You have to pay the state $500 per. So if you got five dispensaries to come into your event to set up a booth, like it's a farmer's market, to sell, you have to pay the state $500. So you're charging the retail store maybe $750.
Gross amount of money. Bro. High times charged House of Dank $50,000 to put up their thing at the High Times events when High Times went to Russell and House of Dank didn't even sell anything. They did it for advertising.
Well, I guess
that's what I'm saying. Like it's gross. What a lot of that's like I do. If you did events, I think the most genius way to do events, you do the event, you charge that right there, $750, and give me 5% of your sales.
Yeah.
1%, you know, and then get 10 of them and then get a bunch of different, because it's only dispensaries that can sell. So it's, we have to change people's thoughts of what a marijuana event is.
I think or you can charge like an admin fee. Like you said, there's, you know, for every order, there's an admin fee or there's a certain percentage. I like the whole percentage.
$2, $3 per transaction. Half percent of this transaction.
Yeah. That way
there's always a legal skim.
I like that. So events. So let me know if you guys will actually go to an event where you could consume inside the event, if that's an attraction for you. I'm curious in the comments out there. Yes, Caribbean. That was a lot. $50,000 for House of Dank. Yes, to do the advertisement. Let's say event license, a little bit stringent than others. Future of cannabis lounges and events. All right, let's predict the future, brother. The future. Man, last thing. What you think?
The future.
What's our hope?
What we just talked about for the last 48 minutes, I think we nailed it. I think between the two of us, the start of it is getting these places easier access, easier lane openage, allowing all lanes of life people to be able to access, you know, the townships. It really comes down to the townships and getting these different boards to open and allow these different things to happen. was like, okay, you do an event. And this is something that I've been trying to nail down. Do an event. Well, where can you do it? Does it have to be in a legally licensed area, or does it have to be, can I do it in a field and I just need to get the event? You just got to be on private property. You know what? You know,
from my understanding, the event license is really just has to get approved by that city. So like here in Detroit, it's not necessarily, you're not restricted by zoning, but you have to submit your plans at the front for the location you're looking to throw the event. And they're going to use their discretion. For example, if you're going to do it in this, say, Hart Plaza, which is this public park here in Detroit, and you try to do this marijuana event in Hart Plaza, I think 99% of the chance you're going to get denied because they don't want that type of event happening in that type of family, say, atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe you're zoned in an area that's in Midtown, that's near a White Castle and a train station, that may not fall into a zoned, say, retail store, but you could get a event approved from the city. And then, of course, every single time you throw that event, you just got to keep getting it approved. So, and then you got to keep paying the state per day that you're open and all that jazz. So you're not subject, I know in Detroit or in most cities in Michigan, based upon the zone, it's more of the city approving the plans of where you're doing it. So you got to put thought, though. You can't just, you know, you go through all that process and you want to do
it. Gotta be real.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm going to do this marijuana event at Toys R Us. I don't think they're even open anymore. But nevertheless, you know, you got to be able to do that.
Yeah, I imagine a good marijuana event in Michigan, you know, would be in the middle of nowhere, you know, where they, you know, you get a local municipality that loves money and they take a piece, you take a piece. The dispensaries can all come into one spot and take a piece for the day. You do like a camping weekend. You know, you have a crap load of food trucks, and that's, you know, that's it.
Now there's one coming in October. I know Michael Comore's attorney office is doing one. I should probably pull that up pretty soon. I know they're doing one. It's like a comedy festival. It's like one of the first Michigan events. It's a comedy festival. It's gonna be like mid October, fall brisk. But I think it's like about an hour away. I'm gonna try to pull it up before we finish our comments. Actually, I'm just doing our key takeaways. I'm gonna get that information and bring that up.
And Earl, one more quick question too. When you spoke about the Michigan gifting law, what was that exactly with cannabis gifting?
So here in Michigan, a person 21 years of age or older can consume cannabis. A person 21 years of age or older can gift cannabis to another person 21 years age or older without remuneration. And Michigan's not the first state, like Vermont, Washington, D.C. There's other states that have this gifting clause. It's really meant, you know, if it's, you know, Christmas, if you celebrate, or Hanukkah, depending on what you celebrate, you want to give an ounce to your friend, that's a perfectly legal transaction. So,
well, let me ask you, give you a for instance, because I love this. I love, because I did not know that. I always thought, you know, I did not know that. So, what if a person paid me $200 to show up to their house and get everybody stoned for a day?
Well, it can't be direct. Like, you're giving $200 just to come to your crib, and it just so happens.
Okay.
Yeah, it just so happens you have other things that people are partaking. And it's got to be more than just cannabis, though, too. You know, you got to, you know, be able to have, you know, say it's a Tupperware event. You know,
it's a Tupperware event.
You got a Tupperware event, but everybody's getting high as hell buying some Mary Kay.
But free dabs are legal, essentially.
Yeah. You can give out cannabis. You can do that. You just cannot receive remuneration. Now, that is the gray area to where you are. You need a good attorney. You need to be discreet and need to be able to be respectful and tasteful on how you do that. You know what I'm saying? For example, you see places in Michigan. There, once that happened, because once we legalized adult use here, it wasn't like there was retail stores everywhere you can get it. So people started opening, you know, we're selling chocolate. You could buy this box of chocolate for, you know, usually it's maybe $5 at CVS, but you sold it for $100. And it just so happened with that chocolate, there was also a quarter ounce of weed in there, in that box of chocolate. So that's kind of like, I gave you the chocolate, or I sold you the chocolate, but I'm also giving you something else extra just as, you know, as a courtesy. So But you can get creative with that. What else can you do? T-shirts. There's people who've been doing coffee and tea. So there's different ways. Memberships. You know, you can have a membership. And that. So there's different ways on how you can gift it. But then, of course, that also depends on where you're at as far as how they want to enforce it. So,
well, and the only reason I say this is I'm a consumption lounge. Okay, I buy a legal amount of product from a dispensary, and as part of your membership to my consumption lounge, you get free dab bags the entire time you're here. Smoke 100 of them, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you get free joints. Yeah, you got to pay for the piece you smoke it out of, but you get free bags of weed. And it's all in your membership. And it just comes down to how much your membership is.
You know, I wish there was a place like that that exists that does memberships. And
makes two of us.
It's all good. All right. Let me pull up that information. Wrap up some of the key takeaways, but let's get out of here. We're going to wrap this out before the hour ends. All right. So wrap up the key takeaways. What do you see up there that you want to highlight? I'm going to get this information for this event. For those who are local in Michigan, I'm going to pull this up. Canna Jam is the event. Go ahead.
So just going down the key takeaways list, even though weed is legal to consume medically or recreationally in 37 states, it's not legal to consume in public places everywhere. And as the cannabis industry grows, so do the types of licenses that are now emerging. Marijuana event licensing can be just as stringent as other regulatory requirements. And always be sure, if you're planning on holding an event with weed or attending one, that the proper licensing has been received and approved. I like our key takeaways for this episode.
Thank you. We work hard, okay? We work hard, Prophet. I appreciate that. We work hard to get this content. Oh, Nicole's in Michigan. We put yes, like accepting donations, but you're not charging. True. But then again, you just got to watch Nicole the transaction. Like, is it at one time? You know, like technically you say it's a don't like that. There's been case law, you know, things like that. You want to be as, you know, discreet as possible to where there's a donation happening somewhere else, or the cannabis is given somewhere else and the donation is given somewhere else. You just want to put yourself in the best position to where if there was an issue, you have some wiggle room to be able to explain that, hey, this is a gift. This is not a sale. Just got to think that through. If you were in other shoes, if you were the popo or someone else, in what way would they say, no, that is a sell? Then don't do that. Try to be more creative. So keep doing that. Go to craftcannabisclub.org, Nicole. You're in Michigan, sending your way. Go to craft. We actually open up for memberships now, craftcannabisclub.org. We only open up memberships a couple times a year. If you're looking to join a membership-based private club, private community, for like-minded people to share resources, educate, and also advocate. I like that. Educate and advocate. Look at that. Educate and advocate together with like-minded people. Craft Campus Club is for you. And there's a bunch of other perks and benefits for being a member of the Craft Cannabis Club. There you go. So we got content like this. We also do classes. We teach and this is like a shameless plug right here. But, you know, someone asked a question. I'm just, you know, talking about it, Prophet. There we go. There it is. All right.
No, I like it. I like it.
All right. So the event that's in Michigan, everybody, is Canna Jam. It's going to be here. I got it right here. It is 1 o'clock. It's October 9th. October 9th at noon. It's going to be from noon till 10 p.m. So it is on Eventbrite. So you go to Eventbrite and type in Canna, C-A-N-N-A, Jam. Let them know that Earl from Craft Cannabis Therapy Network, Craft Cannabis Club, Tiggity, whatever you see behind me, these brands, you know, entrepreneur, you know, just making things up as we go, Prophet.
Shout me out.
We got the Prophet over here as well. So we got, there you go. So this is going to be weed for sale as well. So at this event, they have weed for sale. They're going to have comedians. They're going to have bands. I think Pink. Was it Pink? Third Eye Pink. Is that a band?
I don't know. I don't know music very well.
Oh, Pink Floyd. I'm sorry. Pink Floyd is going to be there. So that's October. Pink Floyd's good. And then Pink Floyd and then the comedian Mike Young from Who the F is Mike Young? There we go. And Darren McCarty from the Red Wings. Yes, that's going to be October 9th, Saturday, October 9th, in Ypsilanti. and it's going to be at Riverside Park. Again, it's from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. They're going to start around noon, but 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. is the official start time. So, yeah, check that out, everybody. We're talking about consumption lounges. We're talking about events. And here's an event that we can go and try out in Ypsilanti from actually our own attorney, Michael Kimoren, has the event license, and he actually put this together. There you go, brother. There you go. All right, that wraps up. If you like this in the comments, let us know. We appreciate you guys staying around. Thank you, Harvey. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Miss G, aka Caribbean, for participating and letting us know it's not just a party of two, just a prophet and I. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. Hope you guys liked it. If you did not like it, keep it to yourself, because we can think of some things we don't like about you too. On
feeling
YouTube,
is mutual.
It's mutual. Subscribe, all that jazz. You know, if you want to, if you don't, you know, whatever. Check out Campus Therapy Network. So we have a members area. It's a free members area. Campus Therapy Network. So Campus Therapy Network is a free membership, everybody. And our goal is to help you consume cannabis more comfortably and avoid those uncomfortable experiences. And we do that through education, do that through resources, and we do that through connection. That's what this is right here. Education, we're giving you resources. Now, every single slideshow of every single show that we have done, you can go to cannabistherapynetwork.org, join the free members area, the free hub. You can watch through all of our past episodes, not just on YouTube. You can search through any of our content on our free members area. So you type the word clone, type the word prophet, type the word light-skinned warrior, and it's going to take you directly where we're talking about light-skinned warriors. All right, so check that out at Campus Therapy Network, and you get all our slideshows. So if you want to download all this stuff and reteach it, it's all good. Our point here, like Prophet said earlier, is to help spread the knowledge, get it out there, so we can restore cannabis as being normal once again, because it always was normal until the big fat lie. All right, so a couple other last things. Go to our website, craftcannabisclub.org, to get our free ebook on what's cannabis, craft cannabis versus commercialized cannabis. Check that out. We have also the first three must-knows. If you have a friend or family that's looking to consume cannabis or get back into consuming cannabis, check out this free download of the three must-knows before you consume. Check out what's going to be coming. Also, we have the Homegrown Weed Summit that's going to be coming back. We're looking to get it back before December, where we have over 30 different homegrown experts. We'll get you back on there too, Prophet. It's going to be teaching you every stage of the way of growing amazing cannabis at home. So you can grow, consume at home. You ain't got to go nowhere. There you go. So check that out. Without that, Prophet, any final words?
Thank you very much for joining us today. Earl, as always, thank you for having me.
Much love, everybody. Thank you guys again for participating. Much love. This is cool. We see you we do a show every single Wednesday. We do a live one every kind of other Wednesday, the third and maybe the fourth or fifth Wednesday. We should be back next week live as well. Check us out. And any suggestions, any topics you want us to cover, go from there. All right, we got other shit to do. Holla at you. We'll see you next time. Peace out. Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, cannabistherapynetwork.org. CannabisTherapyNetwork.org.